The government has announced all live exports by sea from New Zealand will be banned in 2 years' time. Last year, more than 100,000 breeding cattle were shipped to the main export market, China, to the value of $260 million. The news has been welcomed by animal welfare groups, but that's not the case with some farmers and export companies. On the line is a Central Hawke's Bay sheep and beef farmer, Jeremy Rooks. Hi, Jeremy.
Hello there.
Were you expecting this announcement today?
I'd heard that it was coming, so it didn't come as a surprise, and that's a bit unfortunate.
How did you hear it was coming?
Oh, I just know some guys in the industry and stock agents that heard a bit of talk around it, and there was a kind of resigned inevitability to it, really.
Is that with regards to what happened with the Gulf Livestock One capsizing off Japan last October?
Oh, yeah. Well, I suspect that obviously has had a bit to do with it. But, I mean, you know, you have to put that tragedy in perspective, that was actually that was not an animal welfare error. That was a captain that made a very poor decision. And as a result, we had 41 people and I think 6,000 cows, met their end in a typhoon that they should have gone around. So that's nothing to do with animal welfare.
So let's come back to today's announcement. Why wasn't it a surprise for you?
Oh, well, I mean, I could be a cynic probably, and I'm sort of, you know, as far as I'm concerned and a few people that I've spoken to today, this is just another, you know, another policy or a setting by the government that's just sort of making it more difficult for us to make money and to farm. And, you know, this is a growing market. It pays a premium for our stock, and it's been taken away from us. And as far as the welfare sort of side of it goes, I mean, you know, these our welfare standards at this end are the toughest in the world. So I don't really wash with that. And then I know on the boats, because I know people that have been on those trips, and you know, there's vets there, and there's always, well, most of the time there's a few New Zealanders on there. So I don't really agree with the fact that. I heard Mr. O'Connor today say that, you know, we sort of lose control of the stock once they go on a ship. Well, I can tell you that's not true, because I have sent stock on those boats myself before. Yeah.
How many times have you sent cattle overseas by ship?
Twice.
Recently?
We sent nine. It was only nine that went last year. We had a few that didn't make the cut through, you know, because there's a very rigorous disease testing and things, and they're, you know, it can be quite tricky. So we had a wee handful that didn't make the cuts, and so nine, and I think a couple of 3 years ago, I can't remember exactly, I think we sent about 15. So we haven't sent many, but to sort of put it in perspective, like last year, we had a terrible drought, we had the COVID thing as well, which had an impact on our bottom lines. And suddenly to have this opportunity to be able to sell some of our, you know, cull heifers, if you like, you know, and what I mean by cull is that some of our Angus heifers that weren't going to make the cut into our herd, to send them off to China as breeding stock at a premium price was a great opportunity for us to make, a bit more money after the losses we'd incurred around the drought and with COVID and stuff.
And so, as a result, the drought that was last year, you put those nine Angus heifers, one-year-old Angus heifers, on the ship. What do you know about what happened to them? Were you there when they went on the ship? Can you tell me what you know about the process of it?
Yeah, I can tell exactly what happened. So it's all kosher. There's nothing hidden around it. We come here, they get injected with a few jabs for whatever whatever diseases they want, plus TB tested, and then once that's done, we keep them in quarantine until they go, so they're on their own, and then they come back again, they get a vet check from memory, and then they go to a quarantine facility for X amount of days, and then they're all checked again for, I think, free martens and things are removed, and then which are infertile cattle that don't have a uterus, and then after that they're held in quarantine and they get used to being fed supplements because that's what they get fed on the ships, and then once the ship arrives, away they go, and away they go, and they're off to China. And then at the other end, I think they go to whichever farms they go, and I think a lot of them are housed, and you know, which is similar to how a lot of cattle globally are farmed due to the climate and stuff. And I think it ends pretty well. I mean, you have to remember with this trade that a lot of people go, oh, it's inhumane and it's awful. Well, the reality is that, you know, the days of the, you know, these poor sheep, for example, and sent off to Saudi Arabia and chucked in the boot of an old Toyota Camry or something and getting the heads chopped off, they're gone. We don't do what the, you know, what has happened in Australia, where those some of those Brahmins out of the desert stations get chucked over and inhumanely killed. These are treated as premium stock in China. And the fact that this trade is growing and China want more of our stock should tell you that those animals are obviously well looked after, because if they weren't looked after at the Chinese end and our animals didn't perform, well, the trade would die rather than increase.
But the opportunity that's been taken away is to ship them, right, to transport them by sea. You can still, I'd imagine, be able to put them on a plane, right? Would you still go ahead and do that?
On a plane? No, because it cost-wise, it doesn't work. And look, there's been a massive accident, or you know, a maritime tragedy last year, which seems to sort of be front and centre of all this. But you know, that's one shipment. It was an error by the skipper or the captain, and the rest of these ships know what they're doing. These animals are treated very well, and it's easy to pull out some old footage and go, oh, look at this, it's terrible, and it's the same with pig farming and everything else. You know, there's all sorts of horrible images and everyone goes, oh my God, it's awful. They don't actually make the effort to actually look properly and research and get the facts around how well these animals are treated.
But not all farmers are in support of shipping livestock overseas, are they?
100% correct. And that's the decision that's yours to make as a farmer. You know, I mean, nobody, if my neighbour says and he's got some heifers, he doesn't want to send them, I won't bear him any ill, and he doesn't think any less of me. It's just, you know, I mean, the main argument around farmers is that we're selling our breeding stock offshore, you know, to help another country feed their people. And by feed their people, I mean, in this case, to help the Chinese, you know, breed more cattle for the, you know, to feed their people. But the way world population growth is going and stuff, you know, it's not affecting us as far as what we're getting at this end for the rest of our stock. But the Chinese pay a premium for these cattle, which has to be beneficial.
So
because we know by the stats that these animals are not being mistreated,
and that's what you have to go on and trust. Therefore,
absolutely, and I mean it. As I said earlier, that if the whole trade was a disaster at the Chinese end and they decided that it was, you know, it wasn't working, then the trade wouldn't succeed. I mean, it's in their interests in China to look after these stock. Otherwise, they've wasted their money. I mean, they pay a fortune for these stock. And so it's in their interest to look after them. So I don't, you know, as I say, these are going to be breeding stock. They're not going to be killed, and I think that's the difference people have to get their head around.
So today's announcement, in 2 years' time, you will not be able to ship breeding livestock to China or anywhere for that matter. How do you change that part of your business with that news?
Well, all it is an opportunity gone. It'll have bigger repercussions for the dairy industry, but because I'm not a dairy farmer, I don't really want to get too far into that. But, you know, I mean, all I will say around the dairy thing is that's a massive, massive, you know, bonus for them to be able to kill, I mean, not kill, I beg your pardon, to send stock over to China, because those stock will probably be killed at a much earlier age, maybe as bobbies instead. And that's the grim reality of it.
Given everything you've described about your experience with putting livestock on a ship to go to China for breeding purposes, what do you make of the concerns around animal welfare? Is it all made up?
You know, we take animal welfare very seriously here. We're part of a farm, you know, a quality assurance program. Our whole industry is based around that. We take it very seriously. But there is kind of an irony when you ask me that question, and the irony is this, that, you know, we're talking about the ethics of how New Zealanders farm or may trade, but then I'll give you an example. Our pork industry, for example, is being regulated out of business because they're making it so hard with these new welfare codes to make pig farming sustainable in New Zealand. But at the same time, we're importing 60% of our pork from countries that have lower welfare standards than us. And I think that's kind of hypocritical because, you know, pointing the borax at us or the export companies for sending cattle offshore, and yet we're importing potentially unethically produced pork to feed our people. You know, people wonder why farmers get a bit frustrated with government and stuff, because when you start looking at things and how things happen, you get a little bit cynical and go, well, you know, you might be virtue signalling here.
Jeremy, it's been good talking to you. I appreciate the insights.
No, pleasure. Thank you for having me on.